GM und herzlich willkommen zu Episode 23 von CryptoTicker, der Podcast. Jede Firma im Crypto-Space, die mit Digital Assets Umsätze generiert, muss diese im Normalfall steuerlich und buchhalterisch korrekt darstellen. Und das ist oftmals gar nicht so einfach. Und genau an dieser Stelle kommt Bitwave ins Spiel. Bitwave ist eine Plattform, die sich darum kümmert, dass Digital Assets wie Kryptowährungen und NFTs in der Buchhaltung, in Steuerreportings und auch in der Rechnungsstellung richtig dargestellt werden. Amy Kalnoki ist COO und Co-Founder von Bitwave und wir konnten sie auf der NFT Paris treffen und in Ruhe mit ihr über die Use Cases von Bitwave, die typischen Kunden, ihre Pläne für die Zukunft und vieles mehr sprechen. Also direkt rein und viel Spaß mit Episode 23 und Amy Kalnoki.
Amy, pleasure having you here. You're from Bitwave, right?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. Yeah, I'm CEO and co-founder of Bitwave. We are a digital asset accounting software. So if you as a business have any sort of revenue in a digital asset, so let's say you're an NFT creator and you've created your NFT and you sell it on one of the large marketplaces, you're probably going to get an Ethereum transaction or whatever token you're using coming in. That's a revenue event for you. So we make a software that helps with the bookkeeping, tax tracking, all the accounting work for that crypto revenue and expenses.
All right, okay. Understood it roughly. Before we actually go more into detail to that, we're currently at NFT Paris. What's your impression? When did you arrive? What did you do here? Did you just, I don't know, sell stuff or did you listen to panel talks or whatever? What did you do?
Well, first of all, this is a fantastic event. I've been really, really impressed by all the creators and brands and everybody that's here. It's a wonderful community here in Paris. I am from San Francisco, California, so I flew in a little bit early, a few days ago, to meet with some of the folks who are based here. We work a lot in the Web3 gaming space, so yesterday I attended the Blockchain Game Alliance sessions that happened. I spoke there about, you know, how about adding tokens and stuff to games. There are a lot of back office and finance implications of that. And then today, it's been wonderful. I've walked around to all the booths, so many wonderful projects on display here. And I actually hosted a session this afternoon.
Okay, a panel talk session.
It was a standalone. Okay. It was a quick hit, 10-minute guide to the accounting considerations for NFT collectors, marketplaces and creators.
Okay, that sounds quite good. So you like it here?
I do. I love it here.
Okay, did you have a croissant ready or something?
I did this morning. I had a croissant and a nice cup of coffee. I feel very Parisian.
Okay, perfect. Okay, we're not going to try make people jealous who didn't attend here, but I guess probably you can get croissants all over the world, but they're actually pretty good here, to be fair. All right, so tell me a bit more about Bitwave. I understood you're basically helping with the asset tax accounting, these kind of things, right? My understanding of it is that it is very depending on country legislations, right? So depending on the country where you're at, there is a variety of different potential regulations that you have and different laws, right? So for example, Germany is completely different than Austria, and specifically in Europe, you have every single country has different setups when it comes to legislation. Do you focus on the US or how do you set it up?
So we work anywhere. We are can work in any jurisdiction. So we specifically build the software. Mm-hmm. So we work with businesses, so not individuals. So if you're a business,
it's a B2B product.
It's a B2B product. Okay, good. Yes. Yeah. And so it's a software system. And during the implementation, the onboarding process, we're going to ask you a bunch of questions. You'll still need a local tax advisor, accounting advisor, CPA. And we'll get that programmed into our system to make sure that the results you're getting out of Bitwave are in compliance to what your local tax advisor and the local jurisdiction laws are. So we're the software producer. We're the software that your accountant locally would use to create the records and calculate the taxes and track your revenue and expenses when that revenue and those expenses are in cryptocurrencies.
Okay, is it related to I don't know, let's say a company it was pretty big in the media when Tesla announced that they would accept Bitcoin as a payment measure or as
a form of payment.
That was pretty big in the news. Is that what you focus on?
So that's a great example of a business who's accepted crypto revenue. But we work with businesses of all sizes, not just large enterprises.
Yep.
So that's really our sweet spot. It's helping these big companies properly do the financial records and document their crypto transactions. But really, businesses of any size have the similar kind of bookkeeping and accounting requirements. And the existing software that is out in the market, so think of a QuickBooks or a NetSuite or an SAP that businesses are using to track their fiat accounting, none of those work with crypto. For a myriad of reasons. I mean, first is the number of decimal places. You think about, you know, we go down to 26 decimal places, but most financial softwares go at most to 2 or 3. And it just doesn't work with crypto because things can be fractionalized. And then there's a bunch of other accounting considerations why the legacy solutions were built for fiat and they don't work with crypto. We really sit in between the blockchain and where the company has all their blockchain and crypto data and their existing legacy solution that they're running their fiat accounting in, we're that bridge. We bring the crypto data into our system. In accounting, it's called a crypto subledger. So the old solution is your main ledger. And then we have a specific subledger that's just going to be your crypto transactions. And we're going to give you the workflows to do the accounting you have to do. And then we're going to push that info back into your main accounting ledger, your fiat one. Because most businesses are still reporting out to their local agencies in their whatever currency they're denominated in, euros or dollars, wherever you are.
You wouldn't report your cryptos, right? You
would still most won't
fully
accept
report it,
in
fiat. And then you have to, at that point in time when you actually report, you have to, well, not transfer, but basically calculate how much that currently is worth in your specific currency that you have in your country, right?
Exactly. And then, that's what our software can help you do.
Okay, got it. But it has, then there is no, let's say that's not a use case for a NFT project or something, right?
It is, because the NFT project, you know, they're creating something. They're creating a product, if you will, and they're going to sell that to people. So they're taking a form of payment when they're taking, when they're exchanging their NFT for Ethereum. And then let's say they hold that Ethereum for a month or two, and then they're going to sell it later. So they have two taxable events, likely, when they have first accepted the NFT, that they need to account for that. They want to know how much did we sell this month. That's an accounting job. And then when they go from Ethereum to euros, that's likely when they're going to pick up the tax event. And they need to know, well, I got Ethereum at 2,000, and now it's 3,000. I made $1,000. I'm probably going to owe taxes on that piece. So they're going to need that report. And at the end of the year, as a project, they're a business. They're probably going to file something with their government. They have to have that report to say, well, this is how much we owe.
I get it. But how do you actually track that then? Is it, I mean, it's the blockchain, but I guess you don't track on-chain.
We do track on-chain activities.
You do track on-chain?
So we'll integrate to wherever they have their data. So whether we're integrating directly with the blockchains and protocols themselves and an exchange account or a custodial account, we can go in with an API connection. Usually your XPubs, public addresses will be sufficient for us to sync in all the data from the blockchain.
That's interesting. Okay, understood. But how did you come up? I mean, it's not too far to actually come up with that idea, but is that your background as well? Is that what you come?
So my background is in enterprise software. I had a previous startup that I did in just kind of building B2B and enterprise software. And then I personally love digital assets and crypto. And so I wanted to bring together, you know, my experience of enterprise software and, you know, my passion for crypto.
And I mean, probably you were thinking about, I mean, that is a business case
that
somehow makes sense,
right? It does. It's the first thing that a business needs. You know what I mean? You or me, we might think about taxes just once every year. But a business, they close their
books. Hopefully not too often.
Every month, they have to do month-end reporting. They have a fiduciary duty to investors to keep these records. And, you know, in some countries, you could go to jail for fraud as a business if you're not following these these regulations. And so it made sense to me that, you know, as businesses and as crypto and NFTs and all this stuff gets adopted, the kind of infrastructure layer was going
to
be needed.
You need to build the shovels, right?
You do.
It's an infrastructure. It's an infrastructure product. Absolutely. Is it more of a sales heavy business? So do you have to actively sell, or is it more that the demand is really high and you cannot really follow the demand?
We have two types of customers that come to us. The ones who have are planning this out, they're going to launch, and they are doing all their research ahead of time, and they come to us and we sell them. Yeah. We're like, you're going to need this. I know you are. And we have the opposite. We have the people who are a year, 6 months in, and they realize, oh no,
we need a solution here. Yeah.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
And they come. Yeah. So we don't have to sell them at all. They are begging at our door.
Yeah.
Give me something that will help.
Yeah. Moment. Jetzt gibt's erstmal ein bisschen Werbung. Und zwar für Kryptoticker. Kryptoticker ist nämlich viel mehr als nur dieser Podcast. Kryptoticker ist die Community rund um Kryptowährungen, Web3, NFTs und allem, was dazugehört. Bereits seit 2015 kümmert sich das Team von Kryptoticker darum, Neulingen und Profis eine Heimat im Kryptospace zu bieten. Auf kryptoticker.io findest du jeden Tag neue Artikel und Insights, prall gefüllt mit News, Tipps, Hintergrundinfos und spannenden Einblicken. Im Kryptoticker Discord kannst du dich außerdem mit Tausenden von Gleichgesinnten austauschen, Fragen stellen, Kontakte knüpfen und vieles mehr. Schau am besten gleich jetzt in die Shownotes, denn da findest du alle Links zu Kryptoticker und kannst direkt ein Teil der Community werden. Und jetzt weiterhin viel Spaß mit Kryptoticker, der Podcast.
Is it off the shelf? Like, do you integrate seamlessly, or is it, do you need specific AP integrations and that takes a while to implement, or how is it?
It really depends on what you're using.
Yeah.
You know, we have support for all the major blockchains. So if you have a pretty simple use case, you're on the main chains, on the main marketplaces, the main exchanges, then it'll be a pretty seamless integration. But honestly, in this space, everyone's doing something creative and unique.
Yeah.
And so,
and everybody's trying to be innovative, right?
They are. So we will do a more handheld implementation process. Mm. And like I said, you know, things do have to be tailored to the country, to the jurisdiction that you're
absolutely.
In.
Yeah.
And so what was going to work with someone in the US is not going to work for someone in the UK or the EU.
Yeah. I can imagine that. And how did you, I mean, the development must have been some sort of effort. Are you funded externally? Or?
Yeah, so we were founded in 2018, which I would joke is like a dinosaur in the crypto and NFT
true,
space.
True.
So 2018, been around for a while. Yeah, we have external funding. We closed our Series A at the end of last year.
Okay, perfect. And what's your plans for further growth? I mean, I guess you're not nearly at the end where you see that product being.
Yeah, I mean, my goal for the company is anytime a business starts transacting in crypto, they know that they need Bitwave. And so really to just help. Our mission is to help enable businesses to be able to do this. Because a lot of times, maybe someone in the marketing department or the product department at a company wants to do an NFT project.
Yeah.
They want to get into crypto. And it's someone over here in finance and accounting saying, whoa, no.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So we want to help,
legal
or something like that. We want to help show them that there is a solution. There is a way to do this compliantly and in a way that's audible. And so to help open up the world of crypto for all businesses. Mm.
So, and what's your current, like, major task that you're actually doing? Like, do you focus yourself on sales, or do you focus on business development, or do you do the technical stuff, or what's the biggest portion of your daily job?
Yeah, so my co-founder is our technical lead. He did a lot of the programming on it, a brilliant engineer, and I handle things that are customer facing, the business side of Bitwave. But we've grown like crazy. We're 55 people spread out all over the world, a remote first company, so I'm very busy doing a lot of different tasks.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Did you actually, I mean, we are currently in a bear market situation, right? When you were founded, it was still also in that kind of situation, right?
Yeah.
It was pretty much right after the bubble burst, the ICO bubble, I assume. So you experienced the building of your company during the crypto winter. Then it actually exploded, right? I guess that was a pretty good time for you because you had your product ready to sell. And then it went down again, right? Did you experience something where you realized, or where companies who you were talking to pulled back from actually wanting to implement that kind of solution?
No, because these requirements are often dictated by the governments and taxes or investors and obligations. It's a pretty consistent need. So long as businesses are transacting in crypto, they're going to need something. And businesses, they tend to take a longer term view than individual, retail, more speculative type investors.
Mm,
so we don't offer any services for individuals to do their own personal taxes.
Yeah.
And so I've actually found that businesses, they're slow and steady. And so the adoption has been pretty consistent.
Yeah.
It was going up more, but still, we have new customers coming in all the time, just because when someone invests in an NFT project or decides to do a blockchain project of any kind, you know, it was a business decision that they probably put time and a strategy session into it. And so they're in it for the long haul.
Yeah. Do you have competition?
So we're really unique in the space that we focus on businesses.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I thought, because I know some solutions that do for B2C, but
exactly.
Not B2B.
Focus on businesses, and our sweet spot will help companies of all sizes, but really working with those larger companies that higher transaction volume.
Yeah, sure.
Have maybe they're listed publicly on a stock exchange.
Yeah,
they
need to make sure it's all exactly reported and all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So high volume and complicated requirements, that's really our sweet spot, and we're pretty unique in the market.
Yeah, cool. Sounds good. Okay. For the end, I've got some other types of questions which have nothing to do with Bitwave or, it has a bit to do with NFT Paris. It's a simple either or.
Okay.
If you want, you can... You can reason on why you actually chose that one, but it's pretty simple actually.
Okay.
So is it for you Bitcoin or Ethereum?
So I'll give my explanation. At first, when I first got into crypto, I would have said Bitcoin. But then once I saw the community, the developer community around Ethereum, I think there's so much value in everything that everyone's building. Mm. So I'll go ahead and say Ethereum.
Okay. All right. Twitter or LinkedIn?
LinkedIn for me.
LinkedIn for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
especially lately.
Yeah, because you do B2B. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get it. Okay. OpenSea or Blur?
Well, I won't say which one, but one of those is a current Bitwave customer.
Yeah.
OpenSea.
Okay.
And so we love working with the team there. They're doing really creative and wonderful things. So I'll go ahead and definitely pick OpenSea.
All right. Okay, got it. Bored Ape Yacht Club or CryptoPunks?
Bored Ape Yacht Club, because I think they've done some really great in real life, in person events, and the in person community there. Not to, you know, make anyone too upset, but I think they do a great job.
Okay. Another one. Croissant or pain au chocolat?
Croissant.
Croissant?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Well, then, thank you very much for being
here with me.
Thank
you, it was wonderful.
Enjoy some more croissants while you're here, and hopefully also the after parties, and all the best with Bitwave and your company, and be successful.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Wenn dir die Folge gefallen hat, dann lass uns gerne ein Like da, klick auf Abonnieren, mach eine Bewertung und schau auf jeden Fall auch mal auf unsere Social Media Kanäle sowie den Newsletter. Dort findest du immer alle News rund um Kryptoticker, der Podcast. Und jetzt einen schönen restlichen Tag, Abend oder Morgen und bis zum nächsten Mal.